Okay, Marek Rabotai, we are learning the Sukya of Anshei Tveria, which is as follows. The Mishnah tells us that once upon a time, the people in Tveria brought a pipe of water into a pipe of cold water into hot water, and the Chachamim said to them that, no, don't do this anymore. If it was on Shabbos, you can't drink it and you can't bathe in it. If it's on Yontiv, so then you're not allowed to bathe, but because you're allowed to heat up water on Yontiv for Ochal Nefesh, so therefore you are allowed to drink the water if the episode happened on Yontiv. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the difficulty over here is simply understanding what exactly is going on. Like, what is the case of the Anshei Tveria? And it seems, and quite honestly, the guys who are in the Beis Medrash today really helped me, or I should say it more precisely, they helped me by helping me find an Art Scroll Gemara, and the Art Scroll Gemara, footnotes 28 and 29, were very helpful. There seems to be two ways of understanding the situation in the Mishnah. One way of understanding the situation in the Mishnah is that the people of Tveria, obviously the case is they want to take a bath, and no one wants to bathe in the Chami Tveria itself. The water in Tveria is all smelly and putrid. It's like a mineral bath. I don't know. I remember as a kid, we went on a couple of trips to Saratoga Springs, right? And the bath smells like sulfur, no? It schmeckt gefährlich, Rabbi Isai, right? It smells terrible. And people, by the way, if at the end of the semester you do not know at least 10 new Yiddish terms, I have failed as a Rebbe. Okay, now, that's real Yiddish, unlike far-fetched, which is fake Yiddish, right? So schmeckt gefährlich means it smells really bad. And they didn't want to be tovel, they didn't want to bathe in the Chamei Tveria. But also, no one likes to bathe in cold water. So what they did is they ran a pipe of fresh cold water through the Chamei Tveria. The Chamei Tveria heated that water, and then they would bathe simply in the fresh water that was heated by the Chamei Tveria. That is one way of understanding the scenario. Another way of understanding the scenario is that the water is actually running into the Chamei Tveria, meaning the people would bathe in the hot springs of Tveria. The only thing is that the hot springs of Tveria are super hot. I remember one time I was in Mattisdorf. They have like this big Beis Medrash. It looks like the Beis HaMikdash over there. And they have 20 mikvahs at the bottom. And Erev Yom Kippur, I went to the mikvah in Mattisdorf, in this Belzer Beis Medrash, and the mikvaos were labeled kar, cham, and cham ma'od. And the mikvah that is labeled cham ma'od, I'm telling you, it's cham ma'od. It's really, really hot. And most people don't want to go into that type of mikvah. You don't want to bathe in that. So the people in Tveria, what they would do is they would take cold water, they would run that cold water into the hot water, and then they would cool down that hot water. And by doing such, they would be able to bathe in the Tveria bath itself. Now, this explanation, the explanation number two, that they are bathing in the Chamei Tveria itself, is somewhat objected to by the Ramban. The Ramban in the Milchamos, on Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph, the Dape Harif, in the Oz V'Hadar Gemaras, they break it down into paragraphs, but in the standard Gemaras, honestly, I'm not sure. So there is a paragraph that begins, V'od Nira Midavrehem, where the Ramban says that this explanation, that they are bathing in the Chamei Tiberia itself, is actually difficult, because the Mishnah says that if this happened on Shabbos, that water is forbidden to drink and it's forbidden to bathe in. Says the Ramban, no one would ever drink the water of Chamei Tiberia. It is disgusting. You're not going to drink it. And therefore, the Ramban is inclined to the other explanation, that the water is running through the Chamei Tiberia and they are bathing in only the fresh water, not in the Chamei Tiberia itself, because the Chamei Tiberia itself is too putrid to bathe in. Okay, so what we have over here is a situation that the people in Tiberia have this einfall. They have this new idea that what we could do is run cold water through the hot water. And the Chachomim say, my dear people in Tiberia, you're not allowed to do that. Now, why are they not allowed to do that? So there are two potential issues. One issue is an issue of hatmana, right? That the water is running through the hot springs of Tiberia, and that water is insulated. And as such, you are going to violate the Isra of Hatmana. Apparently, the people in Tiberia felt there is no prohibition of Hatmana in this case. Not only did they feel there is no prohibition of Hatmana in this case, but on Lamed Tes Amid Beis, we meet a man named Ula. And Ula says that the halakha follows the people in Tiberia, that there is no Isser of Hatmana in this case. There's no Isser of insulating. And not only do we have the Anshei Tiberia who say this, and Ula who paskins like the Anshei Tiberia, but the Baal Hamar paskins like Ula. The Baal Hamar over here on Yud Ches Bidape Harif, in the end of the longer paragraph, at the end of the second paragraph, the Baal Hamar writes that we paskin like Ula, that the halacha is like Anshei Tiberia, and we do not follow these people who said that, Rav Nachman, who said that the Anshei Tiberia had to break their pipes. So one possibility in the Gemara is formulated most clearly by Rav Chista, that the issue at hand is Hatmana. However, there is another possibility that the issue at hand is not Hatmana, but the issue at hand might be actual bishul, might be cooking, and that is the dispute between the Anshei Tiberia and everybody else. So let's take a step back, gentlemen. The Gemara, or the Mishnah had four cases. We named them 1, 2, 3, and 4. So case one is putting an egg next to an urn that makes the egg more round. Case two is cracking an egg on a handkerchief which was heated by the sun. Case three, right? Case two is a machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Case three is putting an egg into chol and avak derachim, right? That case, everyone agrees, is forbidden, that you're not allowed to insert the egg into the sand, or the sand that was, let's say, heated up by the wagons. And case four is the case of Anshei Tiberia. Within case three, there is a dispute as to what is the reason for case three. is the reason why Rabbi Yossi says it is forbidden? Is that reason because of Hatmana? That is the opinion of Rabbah. Or do I assume that the reason is because of something else? Shema Meza Zafar, which could mean a few different things. If the reason for Rav Yosef in case three is Hatmana, so it is possible or even likely that case four is also predicated on Hatmana. And the case of Anshei Tveria is forbidden because it is Hatmana. And that is what Rav Chisda is saying. When Rav Chisda tells me on the bottom line of Lamed Tesom et Aleph that from the episode of Anshei Tveria, I see that Hatmana is forbidden, what Rav Chisda probably means is that he is adopting the approach of Rabbah within Rav Yosef, that case three is because of Hatmana, and once I have some reference to Hatmana in the sugya, I'm going to say that case four is also about Hatmana. Now, this also is making an assumption that the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yosei would also agree that Rabbah is somehow relevant. Right? This is what we discussed in Shir the other day. This simple reading of the Gemara, like the Rashba writes, is that the whole dispute, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, is only within the Tana Rabbi Yosei. However, if I learn, like Rav Chisda, that case four is about Hatmana, the most logical reason to say that we are talking about Hatmana is because Hatmana was already a discussion in case three. And that would mean that even according to the Chachamim, Hatmana is a live issue. That case three would be forbidden according to the Chachamim based on Hatmana, perhaps. However, there is another possibility that our Gemara in case four, or our Mishnah in case four, is not addressing a case of Hatmana at all. Perhaps the issue is one of Bishul, that I am cooking the water. Now, let's go slowly. Turn to the Rush. Right? The Rush is Rabbi Usher ben Yechiel. He is the father of the tour. The Rush, as we mentioned, is really important halachically because in the history of halacha, because he moved from Germany, he moved from France to Germany, and from Germany he moved to Spain. And when he moved to Spain, he brought the world of Tosfos into conversation with the world of Chachmei Sfarad, which is very important because there is a collection of Taisus called the Taisus HaRash. One second, Ben. It's a collection of Taisus called the Taisus HaRash. And in all likelihood, that's the Tosfos that the Chachmei Sfarad, that the Rashba, etc., were exposed to. And often you see a Rashba who will quote a Tosfos, and we don't have it in our Tosfos. And the answer is, pick up a Tosfos HaRash and you'll find it. So the Rush, super important. We love him. He's awesome. Ben, you have a comment?
I was just going to say it was the Rush's Yahrzeit yesterday.
Wow, I did not know that. Thank you. Okay, and no one like at the minyan I went to offered any schnapps or something, even though it's the Rush's Yahrzeit. Who would guess? So the Rush in Simin Vav. The Rush quotes the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah of Anshei Tveria. By the way, we noted that for the Rush and for the Rif, Anshei Tveria is a separate Mishnah than the case of the eggs, right? So maybe our whole Torah that we were connecting case three to case four is not relevant, perhaps. But the Rush begins by quoting the Mishnah. Then the Rush quotes Ula and Rav Nachman. Ula says we paskin like Anshei Tveria, and Rav Nachman says, no, we don't. The Anshei Tveria are wrong. They had to break the pipe, etc. What is missing from the Rush, gentlemen? Which line in the Gemara is not mentioned in the Rush? Dun 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 dun. Anyone? Louder?
Whether it's talking about Hatmana or
Bishul, be more precise. Which name of an Amira is not found in the Rush? Rav Chista. Rav Chista is not mentioned in the Rush. Right? The Gemara says that based on Anshei Tveria, there's no such thing as Hatmana anymore. Right? Mean the statement of Rav Chista is a really important statement, no? And the Rush ignores Rav Chista. Why is that, gentlemen? Why does the Rush ignore the statement of Rav Chista? So I think there are two possibilities. Possibility one is that our Gemara is talking about cooking. The issue at hand is cooking told, right? And a gezerah told us chama atu told us ha'ar. And therefore, the issue at hand is not hatmana. And therefore, I skip Rav Chista's statement about hatmana. That's one possibility. The other possibility, however, is that the Rush ignores Rav Chista because Rav Chista is unnecessary. You see, Tosfos on Lamed Tes Amid Beis, Tosfos is bothered. He says, my dear beloved Rav Chista, why do you need to tell me the Hatmana is forbidden? Hatmana with a davar that's Mosif Hevel is forbidden even on Friday. Don't I know that already? Isn't that the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amid Beis? So maybe the Rush leaves Rav Chista out because Rav Chista is unnecessary. Meaning, I don't have proof from the Rush that the case in the Mishnah is about Bishul, not Hatmana. The Pnei Yehoshua was the rabbi in Frankfurt am Main in the 17th century. You know, Frankfurt am Main is right down the street over here in Washington Heights. Bennett Avenue and like 185th is Frankfurt am Main. It's called Frankfurt on the Hudson. If you want to read Stephen Lowenstein's biography of Stephen Lowenstein's history of the Washington Heights community, is called Frankfurt on the Hudson because the Breuer's Kahilla are the descendants of the Jews in Frankfurt am Main. Well, even before Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch was in Frankfurt am Main, the Pnei Yehoshua was in Frankfurt am Main, probably 200 years, right? Rabino Hirsch was 1808 until 1888, no? So around 200 years before that, the Pnei Yehoshua is the Rav in Frankfurt am Main. The Pnei Yehoshua says that he thinks the Rush is going to understand that the issue in our Gemara, the issue with Anshei Tveria, is an issue of cooking on Shabbos. What the Anshei Tveria are doing is they're putting cold water into hot water. Whoa! Cold water, hot water, that's cooking! That's cooking! The issue is not about Hatmana. The issue is cooking. Now, if the issue is cooking, the Anshei Tveria somehow felt that it is permitted. But everybody else says it's forbidden. So we have to take a step back over here, gentlemen. Let's look at the Tosos on Lamed Ches Amid Beis. This took me a lot of time to figure out, and you should know the guys in the Beis Medrash today were very helpful in helping me organize my thoughts on this. There are two possible ways of reading our Mishnah. Way you didn't think you were being helpful, right, Ellie? It was really helpful, those conversations. Two ways of understanding the Mishnah.
Is Rebbe's push for having a chavrusa?
I push for guys, again, I think if you can be in the Beis Medrash, it is better for your soul than learning at home. People tend to space out more when they learn at home. If they're in the Beis Medrash, they tend to focus on the Gemara a little bit more. I'll say it like that. But Tosvos quotes the story of Anshei Tiberia, and Tosfos tells me that there is no real issue of cooking. Taisus begins, Maisa vehevio silon shatzoni natoch ama shalchamen, zok taisvis mi ba'od yom heviuhu. They begin this process on Friday. Like Rashi said, Rashi writes me ba'od yom. And therefore, there is no iser of hava'a. There's no iser of bringing the hot water in, because the Gemara in the first parak tells me, poskim mayim legina u'mismal es v'holechas kol ha-shabbos. I'm allowed to begin my sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos, and the sprinklers continue to operate all Shabbos. I'm allowed to begin any malacha on Friday and have that malacha continue on Shabbos. That's a machloikas beishamei beishelon daf yudches called shvisas kelim. We paskin like beishelal that I'm allowed to begin malachas on Erev Shabbos and have it continue on Shabbos. So I can open my sprinklers Erev Shabbos, and also I can have a system that the cold water begins to run into the hot water on Erev Shabbos, and that's not considered cooking. However, there is a concern midrabbanon that the Chachomim invent. The people of Anshei Tiberia say the issue in the Mishnah is cooking, like the first three cases in the Mishnah. But in case four, there's no real issur of cooking because it started on Erev Shabbos. Nonetheless, there's a din d'rabbanon, a gezeira midrabbanon, that maybe you'll begin the process on Shabbos, which would be a real issur of cooking. Right? The asru b'rechitza, you're not allowed to bathe in it, shema ya'arvein b'Shabbos. Right, if we'll allow you to bathe in the water, so in a situation where the bath is not good, you might add the cold water to the hot water on Shabbos. Again, not good in one of two ways. Either that you don't have enough fresh water to bathe, or the Chamei Tiberia is too hot. But be it as it may, the Chachamim are worried that you might mix the water in on Shabbos, and mixing the water in would be considered a violation of cooking, betoldos ha'ar. La'avim b'Shabbos is usher, right? Based on toldos ha'ar. That's version one of Taisus. Version two of Taisus is that the pipe itself had some holes in it, and whenever you bathed, so the water would spill out of those holes, and then it would be cooking. So these two versions in Taisus are all coming from the same place. There is no classical prohibition of cooking when I run the cold water pipe through the hot water on Shabbos, because since I start the process on Erev Shabbos, it's okay. The question at hand is, did they make a gezeira d'rabbanon of cooking, that if I would allow you to bathe in this water, you might mix the cold water into the hot water on Shabbos. In a case when you start an Erev Shabbos, it's grand. But maybe there's a rabbinic prohibition. That's the machlokes all on the Chachomim. That's the machlokes, excuse me, the Anshei Tiberia and the Chachomim. And now we understand Ula. Ula is saying in Yiddish that that is too far-fetched, that I'm not worried that you are going to make a gezeira that if we allow you to bathe, you may, right? You might mix the cold water with the hot water on Shabbos. That is Tosfos based on the Bishul understanding. The Bishul understanding is against Rav Chisda in the Gemara. It's against Rav Chisda in the Gemara. Hatmana is not an issue at all, right? Like Rav Yosef said in the Gemara, etc. There is zero issue of Hatmana. Why is there no issue of Hatmana? Well, it could be that there's no issue of Hatmana, just like there's no Hatmana in the sand, because it gets cooler over time. But that's not so likely, because the Tiberia hot springs retain their heat. But it's more likely that it's not Hatmana, because the water is running through and through. Hatmana means I have an item, a mass, and I insulate it. But if I have a pipe, and when water runs through a pipe, okay, this is a novel scientific idea, gentlemen. When water runs through the pipe, that means that there's some water here at moment one, different water here at moment two. That might not be called insulating, because the water is running through a pipe. Insulating means I have a substance that I stick it in. But when water runs through a pipe, it's not the same substance every moment. One could argue that is not insulating. Or to use an expression that the poskim use, if you look in that Bir Halacha in Simen Shin Chaf Vav, which I assigned, by the way, this is beginning to make sense in my mind. This is unbelievable. This made no sense before. But if you look in the Bir Halacha in Simen Shin Chaf Vav, he quotes an idea that perhaps Hatmana Mimela is permitted. What does it mean, Hatmana Mimela? It means, yes, the water, that fresh water is insulated in the Chamei Tiberia because I have a pipe and the water goes through that pipe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not called insulating because it's running through and through and through, and that would not be an Isser of Hatmana. The Bir Halacha over there quotes from the Beis Meir that there is a prohibition of Hatmana when it runs through and through. But the Bir Halacha himself is inclined to disagree and to say that there is no prohibition of Hatmana when it keeps on running through and through. So far, so good, gentlemen. So issue one in the Gemara is the issue of cooking, or the gezeira of cooking the water, I should say better. It's not real cooking because you started on Friday. And one could argue that if the issue at hand is cooking, so the Rush does not quote the position of Rav Chisda because the issue at hand is not Hatmana. That is what the Pnei Yehoshua suggests as explanation of the Rush. So far so good. Approach number two to Judaism is the approach of Rav Chisda, which is modeled after Rabba within Rav Yosei. And that approach says that the issue at hand is Hatmana. The issue is insulating. Now, what is the scenario that insulating is the issue? Nady, is that a hand up or that's just a hand on the table? Table. Okay. Now, what is the issue with insulating? What is the case? So let's read the Tosfos on Lamed Ches Amud Beis as follows. From two lines in the bottom, Ach, b'gemara medami lo lahatmana. However, the Gemara compares it to Hatmana, meaning Zok Tosfos in the first 10 lines that the issue at play with Anshei Tiberia is an issue of cooking. But Zok Tosfos,
I'm assuming it's an issue of cooking. However, the Gemara, meaning Rav Chista in the Gemara, and one or two lines earlier than that, but Rav Chista says that the issue is Hatmana. The Yalaf Mina, lesser Hatmana, lesser Lahatman mi ba'od yom, b'davar ha'maisev hevel, gezeir shema yatmin b'remetz, b'shema yachata. Says Tosfos that Rav Chista assumes that the issue that with Anshei Tveria is one of Hatmana. It's one of insulating. You are not allowed to insulate even though the process began on Friday. Isurim Dirabbanan can occur even though you began it on Friday. Isurim D'Oraisa Omolacha, this is a point that Rav Shechter makes in his Sefer Eretz Hatzavi Simin Vav. Isurim D'Oraisa, we paskin that if I start my sprinkler before Shabbos, I'm allowed to have the sprinkler continue to run all Shabbos. But by Isurim D'Rabbanan, which are fundamentally a Gezerah, it's a concern that I might stoke the coals or something like that. So even if I began on Friday, there is still a prohibition. So the story of the Anshei Tveria is that even though you started on Friday, there's a prohibition of Hatmana. Now, the concern of Hatmana is that I might stoke the coals, right? Really, the concern is don't do Hatmana on Friday because maybe you'll do Hatmana with remet, which is a mixture of coals and dirt. And maybe it won't be as hot as you like. It'll start to cool off, so you'll stoke those coals. Therefore, because the issue is that you might stoke the coals ultimately, so that applies even on Yontiv. On Yontiv, I'm allowed to cook, but I'm not allowed to do the malacha of Havara. Bishul is permitted on Yontiv, but lighting fires is forbidden. So Hatmana is forbidden on Yontiv. No? What Tosis is getting at is that if the issue at hand is one of cooking, it is much harder to understand why the Mishnah would say there's a prohibition on Yontiv. Right? It's a gezeira, atu, cooking for purposes of bathing. It's not so likely. Like, more often, it's harder to assume that the gezeira applies on Yontiv if it's one of cooking. Even though, yes, we don't cook water on Yontiv in order to bathe in it. But nonetheless, it's a little bit harder to assume that. But if it's a din of Hatmana, and the concern is Shema Yechata, so therefore it applies. Then, Taisus comments. Ulari Nir'eh. The Ri of Dampier is one of the four major students of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Ri, or the biggest student of Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri of Dampier writes, Dimashahayu Misarvim Tzonin Bechamin is not Hatmana at all. Vileko lemelaf mina. Deiko lememer de asri lehu mipnei shemivashel hamayim tzoninim. If I run a pipe of cold water through hot water, says the Ri, that's not Hatmana. Again, why not? Because like we said before, it keeps on flowing. And that is not Hatmana. Again, assuming the Bir Halacha is correct. So why is the issue because of Hatmana? V'nir elo desilon lo hayim is'arev b'chamin ki hayam mukaf mechitzot mikot sad v'hayo mischamimim hamayim sonin shebesilon machmaschame teveria.
Says the Re, you got the case wrong. Right? The reason why there is a prohibition of Hatmana, let me show you on the screen share. The reason why there's a prohibition of Hatmana is as follows. This is my pool, right? My pool of hot water. I have cold water that is coming in. I'll show it to the guys in the room in a second, right? This is a pipe of cold water. The cold water usually flows through and through. But what I do is I seal that pipe of cold water at both ends. And because I seal it at both ends, so the cold water that was going into the Chamei Teveria is now becoming heated on Shabbos. And that type of heating is insulating. Okay, let's assume that it's lower down even. It's completely submerged in the water. So that is going to be insulating. That's the way the Re learns it. The Re is saying that if the water just runs through and through, that's not Hatmana. The only way it could be Hatmana is if you stop that pipe. You put a stopper on both ends. Then the water is Hatmana.
How does that work with the water flowing and the system on Shabbos?
So I think what you do is you stop the flow. You have to stop it at both ends. Right? If water keeps on going in, it's going to overflow. So what I do is I stop
the odium. We're not talking about anything happening on Shabbos.
I think what happens is on Shabbos, you have to have another direction here. My pipe is coming from here. My cold water is coming from here. Usually it goes in one of two directions. I stop it up so that the cold water that was going into the Chamei Teveria is now stopped before Shabbos, and all the water goes down the other direction. Isn't that a beautiful picture, gentlemen?
No, but how do I get the hot water if it's stopped at both ends?
No. The hot water is my Chamei Teveria. This is my, right? This is my hot water. Chamei Teveria is in the, is in that basin. I have cold water that comes from some other source that's going through these pipes. I am stopping it up so that the cold water is not going to keep on flowing. Usually it keeps on flowing. It goes through and through. But I stop it. Now I have Hatmana on this area. There's going to be Hatmana right over there. That is the way the Re learns.
And what do I gain by setting up this system? What did I accomplish that I can now do on Shabbos?
So what I accomplish is, as Tosfos comments, that no one wanted to bathe in that Chamei Teveria itself. Lo hayu rochatzim b'chamei teveria atzman fisha reichan ra. You don't want to bathe in this part of the pool because it smells terribly, right? Now I want to bathe in the pipe, right? So I stuff up the pipe on both sides. I guess there's some entry point that you could get in the pipe, like at the top, right? And I go and I bathe in the fresh water, not in the, I bathe in the fresh water rather than bathing in the Chamei Teveria. Again, if this is my Chamei Teveria, right, and it smells bad, what I have is a gigantic pipe that runs into it, and I bathe in that pipe. I obviously have to stop the water intake somehow, so it's, right, but then I'm able to bathe in the good, fresh, cold water.
Or could it be that the water is added so it doesn't smell as bad? It dilutes the Chamei Teveria.
It's a vet.
That's how I understood it.
Some of the Mishonim say that the Chamei Teveria dilutes the heat of that, the cold water dilutes the heat of the hot water. But the reading of the Tosfos, the way I read the word, is lo hayu rochatzin the Chamei Teveria atman. Right? They would not bathe in the Chamei Teveria itself.
So, yeah.
Right? It's not that they bathed in the Chamei Teveria but didn't smell as bad. Right? That's probably the way to understand it. Now, what we have over here is as follows. There are two ways of reading our Gemara. We could read our Gemara based on some concern of cooking. That is the way Tosos says it on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, that when the Tosos turns over to Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Tosos says the issue at hand is Hatmana, which is the way Rav Chisda learns the Gemara. But if the issue at hand is Hatmana, so I have a question that Tosos on Lamed Ches Amud Beis brings up. That question is, why on earth do you need a statement of Rav Chisda that Hatmana is forbidden? Don't I know that Hatmana with an item that is hot is forbidden mi ba'od yom? You can't do it on Friday, like the Mishnah tells us on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So why on earth do I need the statement of Rav Chisda? So Tosis asks this question, and Tosis has three answers to this question. Answer number one in Tosfos is that perhaps the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Beis is talking about doing Hatmana during Bein Hashmashos, right? It's talking about doing Hatmana only in the twat. It's very hard to write with your finger. Do you know that? It's like much easier with a pen. But I should use a style. I have a stylus somewhere. I should really bring it in. But Hatmana in the Mishnah Mem Zayin on the Beis is during twilight. Although certain midrabanan prohibitions we allow one to do during twilight, says Tosfos, that does not apply to Hatmana. Hatmana is a more severe prohibition. And therefore, Hatmana cannot be done during twilight. That is explanation one of Tosfos. Explanation two of Tosfos is that Rav Chisda is telling me that you can't eat the food or you can't bathe in it, right? In other words, the prohibition is even bidyeved. Once you did it, it's forbidden. I do not see that from the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah Mem Zayin Amud Beis only told me that don't do Hatmana. But it doesn't say that if you did it, it's forbidden. Comes along Rav Chisda on Lamed Ches, Mimaisa she'asu anshe tiveria v'asru lehu rabbanon. The fact that anshe tiveria tried this trick and the rabbi said, don't do this, that teaches me that Hatmana is going to be forbidden to eat on Shabbos. If one did Hatmana be'isser, the food is prohibited. The food or the liquid is forbidden to use, both for eating and for bathing. Now, when this opinion 2 in Tosos is cited by the other Rishonim, for example, the Ran, they quote that the Ramban modifies this position. Opinion 2 in Tosos says that if you do Hatmana, the food becomes forbidden. Explains the Ramban that the food only becomes forbidden if somehow you are improving the food with Hatmana. Either it got hotter or it became mitztamek v'yafelo, the additional time in the heat made the food better. But ordinarily, says the Ramban, if a person violated a prohibition of insulating, but the food did not improve, that food would not be prohibited. That's what the Ramban is saying.
And the proof that the Ramban is bringing is simple reading of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mimaisa sha'asu anshe Tiberia." From the story of Anshe Tiberia, that's why the food is prohibited. Well, the story of Anshe Tiberia is that they take cold water, and it got hotter because of the Hatmana. No? That's why it's prohibited. Because the Hatmana enhances the food. This Ramban is quoted Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish, Nun Zayin, Se'if Aleph. Again, the Ramban is an explanation or modification of approach two in Tosfos. Yes, sir.
Where is that quoted
on the Shulchan Aruch? Resh Nun Zayin Se'if Aleph. That's where the Ramban is quoted. So again, Tosfos is bothered by a question. If the issue at hand is Hatmana, why do I need an issue? Why do I need a discussion of Hatmana when I know from the Mishnah on 47b that Hatmana is forbidden? Answer one of Tosfos is 47b is only talking about during Bein Hashmashos. Answer two in Tosfos is that the Chiddush of Rav Chisda is that it is forbidden even to eat, and I do not see that from the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Approach three in Tosfos is that if our Gemara about Anshe Tiberia relates to Hatmana, why do you need it? Don't we know Hatmana also from Mem Zayin Amid Beis? Says Tosfos that it teaches me the halacha the Hatmana is forbidden even if it is Kidra Chaisa, even if it is a raw piece of meat. If you remember, when we learned the halachos of Shehiya, when we learned the halachos of leaving food on an open fire from Erev Shabbos, so we quoted a Gemara in Daf Yud Ches that Kidra Chaisa is permitted. Right. I'm allowed to leave food on the open fire in Erev Shabbos if the food is perfectly raw at the beginning of Shabbos. Tosos explains in approach three, HaRabbeinu Yona Mefaresh Batla Afilu B'Kidra Chayisa V'Hainu Dekama Batla Mashma Legamre B'Chol Davar. Rabbeinu Yonah in Tosfos says that when we say you can't do Hatmana, that means even on an item that is completely raw. Although Shehiya is permitted on items that are completely raw, Hatmana is more severe than Shehiya, and Hatmana is forbidden. Okay, gentlemen. There are two points to make in answer three of Tosfos. Point one is that answer three is predicated on a distinction between Hatmana and Shehiya. Shehiya, leaving food on the open fire, is permitted if it's Kidra Chaisa, but Hatmana is forbidden. This approach of Rabbeinu Yonah is against the Rashbam, because we saw the Rashbam said, Tosis on Mem Zayin on the base quotes the Rashbam, that the kulas of Shehiya apply to Hatmana as well. Right? We began the semester by talking about Hatmana. It's ancient history, right? Before Yontiv, right? But the Rashbam says that Kidra Chaisa is permitted by Hatmana. Any leniency of Shehiya carries over to Hatmana. The Rabbeinu Yona is disagreeing with that Rashbam. Point one. Point two that I see from Tosfos is a point that Reb Kiva Eger makes in his notes on the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Aleph. Kidra Chaisa, right? I told the story about when I had my Prabha, when I applied, when I had my Shabbos in Mount Sinai to become the rabbi. So Friday night, the rabbi, the president's wife, comes over to me with a question that right before Shabbos, she put some barley into the pot, and she wanted to know whether the heter of Kidra Chaisa, the heter of being completely rua before Shabbos, doesn't only apply to meat, does it apply to other items? So I told her that it applies to other items. Also, providing it's an item that takes a long time to cook, right? The Mishnah Berurah says the kula of Kidra Chaisa does not apply to vegetables because vegetables cook very quickly. Kidra Chaisa means that there's no concern you'll stoke the coals because the food's going to be used for Shabbos lunch. You'll be ready anyway. And the food won't be ready Friday night anyway. Again? Oh, it's my echo. The food won't be ready Friday night anyway. And it won't be ready Shabbos day. And it will be ready Shabbos day anyway. So there's no concern that you'll stoke the coal. That's Kidra Chaisa. However, food that cooks quickly, like vegetables, there's no kula of Kidra Chaisa. What about water? Water cooks quickly. But if I have a lot of water, it won't cook so quickly. Let's say you have a gigantic pot. And that gigantic pot is, right? Let's say I have a gigantic pot. Right? So the question is, what about a stew that has raw meat and vegetables? So as a matter of halacha, we assume as long as there is one rua thing in the pot, that permits the entire pot, right? That's what the Gemara seems, well, the Gemara doesn't say it, but that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that even if I have one rua item in the pot, the whole thing is permitted. So, water. Water could cook really quickly, but that's only if I have a little bit of water. And that little bit of water stays in one place. If I have a gigantic amount of water, a massive, like a tanker, so it's not going to be ready Friday night no matter what. It will be ready Shabbos day no matter what. Is there a kula of Kidra Chaisa? One second, Ellie. The Tosfos seems to be saying that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the leniency of Kidra Chaisa applies to water as well. It's not a case of a gigantic pot. It's a case that the water is running through and through. But because the water won't get heated, anyway, the kula of Kidra Chaisa applies. Again, I'm assuming that the scenario is not what the Ri said, that the pipe is stopped, but the water continues to run through. So there would be a leniency of Kidra Chaisa on water. And this is a point that the Chazon Ish in Simen Lamed Vav Os Gimel makes, that Kidra Chaisa applies to water. Like Reb Kiva Eger said in Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Aleph. However, according to the Rashbam, says Reb Kiva Eger, you do not have any proof that Kidra Chaisa applies to water, because as we noted, the Rashbam disagrees with this answer three in the Gemara, answer three in the Tosfos, the answer that the Chiddush of Rav Chisda is Kidra Chaisa. Ellie, you have a comment?
Yesha, water be different, it's edible raw. Like meat, it's not, you can't eat it.
Okay, so you're suggesting that water is different because it's edible raw, and we already had this conversation very briefly. The Rambam writes that something that's already cooked is something that doesn't require any cooking. So there is no bishul min ha-Torah on, right? That's what the Rambam writes. Whether that applies to water or not is an interesting question. Look in the Shar HaTzion, Shin Yud Ches, Os Kuf Yud Dalet, where he addresses that question. Shin Yud Ches, Os Kuf Yud Dalet,
etc. Okay, gentlemen, I have to run and daven mincha. We will continue tomorrow. For me, this was actually really important because until this afternoon, when I finally sat down to and I spoke to the guys, I sat down to look at my notes again, I had no idea what was going on in this Gemara. I think now I have it somewhat organized. I hope it was not only organized for me, I hope it also organized the sugya for you as well. Okay, gentlemen, have a wonderful day. How do I turn this off?